have a feeling that even though we have been blessed to some degree by the Spirit, that many are going to walk out of here with a false confidence. And I would like to be sure that rather than take with you a consciousness that is not your own, you evaluate more clearly just where you are and what must still be done and how you're going to do it and many other things of that nature. I have the feeling perhaps that we have to get down to earth a little bit more at this point. Mostly we have disregarded all thought of anyone coming into this class who has never been in a class before, and we have soared without restraint, without giving an inch to a newcomer or someone who might not have been prepared for what was here. And we did that because we had an advanced class to deliver. And I have the feeling that those who in some way had come who were not prepared, although they may have received something of substance, they will still find themselves wondering just where to begin their activity of truth when they get home. And of course, we'd like to have them feel that out of this class has developed a capacity to take their present state of life and move it up at least one notch, and maybe a second notch and a third. But rather than leave here, oh, let's say inspired, but not equipped. And so let's try to remedy that at this time. The word grace says many things to many people. It has within it a promise, a hope. And if for some reason we can't see on the other side of tomorrow just what will be, the word grace says to us there is a possibility that there will be some kind of divine intervention. And in some vague, uncertain way, that which opposes my progress at this moment will enter into my consciousness and lift me out of this, and I'll be free to then move into higher levels. I don't want grace to be a matter of maybe, or something that depends on a force outside of your being. Because that very thought is the way we repress grace, restrain grace, repulse grace, and actually reject grace. Grace flows from within, not from without. Paul had to learn the meaning of grace. And when he learned it, he was told, "My grace is sufficient for thee. Stop pushing so hard. Stop trying to eliminate this and eliminate that." And therefore, the message to Paul was that grace exists already. It isn't something to be achieved. It isn't something you have to earn. It's something you have to accept. You may be at this moment in a condition which is definitely not showing grace, and you're hoping to improve that condition, and that's pushing grace away. I've got to make sure that you have the point that grace means this. This which is restricting me at this time is a lie, which is a superimposed world idea. And maybe many superimposed world ideas congealed into one, in some way restricting me. And I cannot accept it as God's will or God's purpose or God's idea. And therefore, in spite of what seems to be a wrong in my life, it must be hypnotism. There's nothing else it can be. And until I accept that it is hypnotism, I am not accepting that grace is always present where God is. And that God is present. I've got to make that clear. I've got to know that you are always under a state of grace. But if you've got a nice dress in the closet or a nice suit of clothes in the closet that you're not wearing and wondering what you're going to wear tonight, it's the same as having grace right where you are and wondering how do you get it. You open the closet door. It's as simple as that. And the closet door is your soul. You get out of your mind and you rest there and you're in your soul. The minute you're out of your mind, resting behind it, slightly above it, waiting on the Lord, you're in your soul. And you've opened the closet door. And you're in grace, because grace is there automatically. And I don't care how severe the condition may appear. Your function, at least it is your function if you want to take seriously the message of this seminar, your function is to not rest in a state of limitation, but to know that it is unlike God, not created by God, not present in reality, and to rest in the peace of your soul until you feel the welcoming arms of the invisible spirit. And this is your physician. You always have present the greatest physician in the world. There's no greater physician anywhere than the invisible Christ. And the grace of Christ is flowing. The only problem is that we're not resting in the acceptance of Christ. I find that when a person suddenly becomes on fire with this truth, that Christ is the expression of ever-present grace, and Christ is their self, not this physical form, when they are lifted up to the point where they suddenly glimpse it, that is something they hold for a long, long time. And it's the miracle worker. Now, when you want to know more about grace, you go to the Master who knows about grace. You go to the Christ. And the Christ is all through this Bible telling you about grace. You can't go any closer to an understanding of grace than I am the vine. You look at the tree, you look at the branch, you look at the leaf, you look at the bud, and you know nothing on the end of that branch is of any value without the trunk. What good is a branch or a leaf or a flower if the trunk isn't there? It's cut off. The whole factory, which is going to pour forth from sun and water and so forth into that tree and then up and into that branch, is not going to happen if there's no trunk. Where's the trunk in your life? That's the point. I am the vine. I am the trunk of the tree, says Christ. Without me, there's nothing. Without me, there's just a life that eventually wastes itself. But with me, all things are possible. The daily miracle is the Christ life. And so I'm trying to appeal to those of you who have not yet let that pilot light turn up with the yes, yes acceptance, the exaltation, the excitement. Yes, Christ is here. It's my being. It's not going to come tomorrow. This isn't something you can be passive about. You've got to accept it. You've got to understand it's there. It's you. And this outer shell is not. And so this is what we're talking about right now. Grace can only flow through Christ. And because Christ is present, grace is present. And when the flow of grace is not lighting up your life, it's telling you you're not connected to the vine. God the Father is the husbandman. Infinity is pouring like the sun in the water. And Christ is the trunk through which infinity pours. If you're just a branch on the tree instead of the trunk, if you're not Christ self in your consciousness, where does this infinite Father pour? No place. So you end up limited, withering on the vine, wondering, where is it that I was promised? Where is it all? And there it is, right there. The only missing link is you still think you're a person. Even at this late stage of truth, we find that the Scripture to us still seems somewhat veiled. We still have a God, we have a Christ, and we have a me. It won't work. You can't have a God, a Christ, and a me. That's not the message of oneness. There is only one self. And this is the miracle worker. And that self is yourself. Yourself includes God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And your consciousness must be that consciousness which knows this. Let's look at I Am the Vine. Let's see if we cannot accept from it what the Father through Christ is telling us.
I am the vine, the true vine. And that word true is important. Now, if you're still going to your employer for better things, or your wife or your husband or someone who's going to die and they use some money in a will or something like that, you're not in the true vine.
You're going for peanuts when you've got the tree. I, in the midst of you, and you must know this, you must feel this, you must accept the infinite eye of being in the midst of you. The minute you do, you feel better, because it rings right. It's the true vine. I, in the midst of you, am the true vine. And my Father, infinity, is pouring into you right now. There's nothing that you need for a total instant resurrection that isn't there right now, because infinity is pouring through I, which you are. Then what's blocking it? We'll say first, the world mind is blocking it. And so we've got to get out of a world mind, and the Father, through Christ, will show us how. Now, are you accepting then that there's not God and Christ and you? This is number one. There is only you, the infinite, invisible I. This is the veiled statement of God the Father, the husbandman, and Christ the vine. It's telling you about one, in language that a man can understand, about a tree. But let's get rid of that tree for a minute. He's telling you there's one being, and you can be no other. Accept yourself to be one being, and there is no other. And don't put any boundaries on yourself. And please do that now. That's what you've got to take home with you. Who you are, not who you appear to be. You are the infinite source, the infinite creator, and the infinite expression of the infinite creator. You are not physical form. You are infinite spiritual being. And this has to be lived with until that light shines inside. We could take the word I and stay with that for the moment. I the Father, I the Son, I the Holy Ghost. One I, three levels. One is the creator, one is its manifestation, one is the enforcer. But all one, just like the fingers on one hand. This is who you are. Don't take a piece of it or a part of it or try to find a slice of it. This is who you are. You're the hand and you're the fingers on the hand. You're the source and the source's manifestation and the enforcer of the will of the source. It is all yourself. And there you must learn to hold your consciousness. Because if you don't, it's like cutting off a branch and expecting something on the branch to grow. Your consciousness is what holds you into the picture so that the infinite can flow through your consciousness. Your consciousness of who you are is what makes the entire picture work. Just abiding in the truth I am the vine. It's not Christ in a book that's the vine. It's the I of you that is the vine. I am the vine. Your very self is the vine. Make that transition. I am the vine. My being is the vine. My being is the place where infinity is functioning. Right now. Infinity is flowing into me. My source is flowing into myself. As myself. That puts you in the picture. And that's to be your truth center. That's where you stand. That's where you face everything in this world. I am the vine. Not Christ in the book, but Christ in me is the vine. And Christ in you is connected with infinity. Christ in you is connected with everything that exists. Christ in you is the only begotten Son of God, the infinite Son. This is your name and your identity, and this is your life. Every branch in me that beareth not true fruit, he taketh away. You are the true vine, and I've added the word true because you must be the true fruit. True fruit is different than what people think grace is. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every affliction is a sign of not bearing fruit from the true vine. So let's stay in that true self, that I am the vine. My identity is the vine. And the fruits that I shall bear through that identity is going to be what is called my resurrection. Just for those who may not know about it, you can stand in that, and if your bones were broken, they could heal. Just by the knowledge that I am the true vine. I've seen it happen after 8 months of absolute nothing happening to a person. The minute this was implanted within their consciousness, the physician in charge said he couldn't operate now because suddenly there was something happening. Something was happening in that bone. It seems to be healing itself. And all that was happening was I, the true vine, was finally released to express. We're not discussing theories with you. We're talking about what happens when you live in the truth. Now, the branch that does not bear fruit is a sign that you're not connected to the vine. In other words, that you haven't accepted, I am the living Christ. That's all that's missing. Because that acceptance is connection to infinity. And I think the problem may be that you're willing to accept Christ, but don't know how. And so let's see if we can't develop that capacity tonight. I cannot bear fruit, says the Christ, unless I am connected to the vine. And we must face it that no human being is connected to the vine. If you're still thinking of yourself as a human being, John 15 has nothing to do with you. It's all about one who is willing to be the living Christ and not to be a human being. Again, the question comes up, well, how do I stop being a human being and be the Christ? That isn't the right question. You are the Christ. The question is, how do you stop considering yourself a human being? You don't have to become the Christ. You are. How do you stop being a human being? All right, that's a good question. First, we love God supremely. And God is spirit. We love the creation of God supremely, and it is spirit. And perhaps we'll want to obey the commandments of the Father. And they are all spiritual commandments. The change in consciousness begins with the belief that God is correct. And therefore I must be wrong. God says that I am His Spirit. And if I think I'm not, I must be wrong. I am His Spirit. And therefore, I must do something about living that way. or I will not bear fruit. Now, the fruit we're talking about is not human fruit. It's not mortal fruit. It's not material fruit. Spiritual fruit is not the fruitage that is being discussed in this scriptural passage. If we're looking for physical fruitage, material fruitage, we're living in the sense of matter. We're not interested in the Christ Word, the Christ Kingdom. We're not interested in God. We're interested in something else. And this class is about those who are interested in living in the spiritual kingdom, where the fruitage is the love of God, the intelligence of God, the peace of God, the harmony of God, not physical things, not what the world calls practical things. That's not the fruitage of living in the Spirit. We're so impractical that we only want things that are permanent. We don't want the practical things that die. That decoy has fooled mankind too long. We want harmony that can't be broken at the whim of a nation or a leader. We want peace that is so deep that nothing that happens in this world can defile it. We want that perfection which is omnipotent. That perfection which is ever-present, that perfection which is divine, and we have them already. We have them all. We have every divine fruit already. They're not going to grow on the tree. They already exist. They're going to come into our consciousness. But we who are living now in the knowledge that I am the Christ, we incorporate within our being all of the divine fruitage that the world is seeking out in the material world. We are growing our own fruitage on our own inner tree. We don't go out for health. Is Christ sick? Is Christ dying? Is Christ in any way impaired? Then we reject the physical imperfection that we may find confronting us. And we have to live in the I am the Christ vine until the outer form, which is nothing but, you might call it, the branch on the tree, begins to respond to the flow of this new consciousness. If we bear no divine fruit, then of what value are we in the spiritual scheme of life? Spirit, it wants to express. Spirit is expressing. Spirit is ever moving through itself, expressing all its divine qualities. If we do not bear fruit, then we are nothing more than a mortal branch, not of the tree of life, but of the false tree, the tree of death. Not of the tree of soul, but of the false tree, the tree of mind. And we passively sit as a branch on the tree of mind, waiting for world mind to clobber us. Separated from the only physician in the universe who is guided by the Infinite Father, the inner Christ. The world has been relying on Medicare and other forms of help because it has to have a substitute when it lacks what it needs. And ultimately, this catches up with us. This not bearing divine fruit has to express as a decaying individual. But there's no need for it. Grace functions through the Spirit of God and not through the human flesh. When it functions in the invisible spirit, and your soul receives it, then it appears as an improvement in the flesh. And when you are living in the mind, which is not the Christ mind, but rather the sense mind, then that which grace is doing in the invisible is not contacted by you and cannot flow forth into the visible. I would like you to join with me in a brief meditation, knowing that the words "I am the vine" in the Bible are what Christ within you is saying, not Christ outside, but within you the living Christ is saying, "I, in the midst of you, am the vine of infinity. All that the Father hath pours through me. If you are not me, you are in a second self which does not exist. If you are a finite, biological creature, you are not the Christ. If you have an age or a height or a size, you are not the Christ. You are letting yourself live within the image of the mind instead of in your reality. I, the vine within, connected to infinity, and the eternal self of you. And unless you are now the eternal self, you will not bear fruit. I cannot flow out into that which is not there. I, Christ, cannot flow out into an appearance. Into a temporary mortal state of consciousness. I flow only where I am accepted as the only. Where there is another beside I cannot flow because that other is not there. Be ye transformed from that mortal sense of self to I in the midst of you, who is spirit, who is infinite, who is real, who is permanent. I am the vine. See if you can drop all sense of a human selfhood just by sliding behind the mind. And in total stillness, wait. Ye are the light of the world. The living life of the Father. My peace I give unto you. I am the Christ mind in the midst of you. I have always been there. You have the Christ mind. As you rest in the Christ mind, let yourself recognize that this Christ mind is everywhere now, not in your forehead, but everywhere. I, the Christ mind, am conscious of oneself everywhere. No separate selves, no separate forms, one infinite self. Whoever can sit in this knowledge of one infinite self, resting there, will discover the power. I am the resurrection. I make you whole. I reach out and embrace my entire universe as you rest in the knowledge that I am yourself. This is where the power is. And from this leverage, the fullness of the Father flows and expresses through that consciousness which is resting in this awareness. All of the invisible branches of your life are covered and met and fed and sustained. If it's a body that is a problem, whatever the problem may be, from this feeding, the resurrection of that problem is attained. All because the substance of your being is flowing outward through the unbroken consciousness of your one self. If you're an inventor, suddenly you have ideas. If you're a builder, you find a shortcut. If you're a contractor, you find your relationship with labor changes. Whatever you are, it doesn't matter. When you stand in the one infinite self, it is I. And there is no other anywhere. That's the healing of body, business, and home. And while you're doing that, your tomorrows are being adjusted into a spiritual activity, whereas otherwise they would have been a mortal activity. And if you can take this home with you, the knowledge that when I rest in the awareness that there is only one being, and it is I in the center of my being out unto infinity in all directions, you have the mystical tree of life. And the fruitage on that tree is precisely what the Father wills it to be. Now, this is a permanent dispensation. When you're not abiding in it, you have broken off from the tree of life. When you're abiding in it, you're on the tree of life. And the only thing that can flow into your expressed visible life is that which comes from this invisible tree. It's a very delicate instrument. Just one little twist in the wrong direction, and you're off into a new channel. The attunement is very, very precise. Let's stay there a moment. Still holding the knowledge that there is no other anywhere in the universe, no other than this one, which begins at the center of your being and goes out into infinity. There is no other. As we stray from the center, I am the vine, to the degree that we move away from that knowledge, to that degree we become vulnerable. And the world enters in, and the world, like a thief, steals away our reality. We lose the knowledge of it, the experience of it, and then we have to look around and find out all kinds of human remedies for the thing that never really was wrong, except in the prodigal mind that strayed away from its Christ mind, its Christ awareness. The difficulty I have found is that many people who learn that they are the Christ then seek to find all kinds of remedies in other ways, and then wonder why they can't seem to locate the right way to find the truth, when always the center, which is I am the Christ, is the right way. And then once that is missing, you're in a state of perpetual chaos. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I, the vine, having expressed the truth to you that I am yourself, and you having accepted I am the vine within yourself as your being, this is the cleansing spoken of here by the Christ. Now you are clean by the word that I have spoken. When you have accepted it, your cleanliness is the dissolution or the end of that sense of you which says, I have this or that limitation. The limitation is the absence of I am the vine in the midst of you accepted. You're a branch without a trunk, or you're a branch on a trunk, and the only way to be a branch on the trunk is to learn that you are the trunk and not the branch. You're all of it. Don't wait for help. Don't seek help in the outer. The only time to seek it in the outer is when you have sought it first within, and then you will find, after having sought it within and rested, you will be directed where to go. The first step is always living in I am the vine. The rest will follow. And it may seem like simple, ordinary human footsteps, but they'll be the right ones. I, in the midst of me, is Christ. And this Christ, which is in the midst of me, is everywhere with the intelligence of God and the power of God now. And this that appears to be my limitation is nothing more than the shadow that exists because I was not resting in the truth. And from that, your help will come, whether it's in the form of a person or an object or a thing or whatever, it will come, because omniscience is everywhere and has the power to send through its own self to where you happen to be that which is needed. Omniscience has the power to do whatever is necessary to repair the breach if you give it a chance by accepting the vine as your being. Now, we have two alternates. We can do it or not do it. We can try to do it or try not to do it. And if the alternate we select is not to do it, we are going to discover that we are then classified as that branch which is not bearing fruit and which must be cast off into the fire. And this is the simple statement that you are merely bringing about a state of being which is unlike God and therefore cannot receive grace. Grace flows only in the Spirit and only to fulfill the purpose of God. If you're not living in the purpose of God, you should know about it. Because a person can go on for many years not living in the purpose of God and not even realizing it. It isn't God's purpose that we walk around here breathing and feeling good. That's not the purpose. The purpose of God is that we manifest the qualities of God. And if we are so concerned with our lives that our interest is not in manifesting the qualities of God, we're not in the purpose of God, and grace cannot flow. We can't rewrite divine law. We can't ignore it without suffering. And if we don't know it and go right on living as if, well, I'm a good person, I haven't hurt anybody, I do the normally nice things, I donate to charity and I give to the crusade, and if a child knocks and has cookies from the Boy Scouts, I buy them, I'm good. But that isn't God's purpose for you on earth. God's purpose for you on earth is to express all of the divine qualities. And that means you must express eternal life. You must express infinity. You must express divine purity. You must express a peace so divine, so perfect, that it is immovable. You must express divine harmony, divine consciousness, divine life, divine love. Everything you express must be divine. You must express the divinity within yourself, or you're not fulfilling the purpose of God. And so we cannot pretend to ourselves that God's grace is not flowing in us because of some unknown reason. The reasons are very clear if you accept them. It changes. God's grace does not flow through human flesh. And there's no sense wasting our time trying to make it happen. God's grace only flows through your spiritual selfhood. We can waste a whole lifetime or many lifetimes trying to find divine grace in a material world. You've got to find it through I am the vine. And that means you've got to live in God's purpose. Most people don't even realize what God's purpose might be for them. They don't even have the idea of what it might be to live in God's purpose. They even think they're doing it. But God's purpose is different than our human sense of what God's purpose ought to be. And then you realize you're really not listening to the words. The words are telling you God's purpose. God's purpose is that I am the vine within you, and you must be that vine. You can't be this mortal self and I the vine within you. God's purpose is that you be the vine instead of the mortal self. And that is the purpose. It's not to satisfy the mortal's idea of what life ought to be like. The purpose of God is to make us relinquish that sense of mortal self which dies. We're told that our fruits must be permanent fruits, fruits that remain. And if we still continue to seek fruits that are temporary, we're not trying to fulfill God's purpose. We're trying to fulfill our own. And as we try to fulfill our own, we cannot receive grace.